You're with SBS Radio.
Here we have Dr. Sarika Kavaramani from Monash University. She is from the Education Department, and in collaboration with her team to do a recent research about parents' roles, especially migrants' parents, parents from a multicultural background in Australia. How does their roles, their culture, their beliefs, their expectation has anything to do with the subject's selections and career path for students or their children's into the future? So let us start and tell us more about your research. Thank you.
So, well, this is actually a larger part of my PhD, where I interviewed 12 families. So it was about 12 parents and their children. And I also interviewed career counselors from three, it was almost like low socioeconomic status background schools. And as you mentioned, that these parents are from immigrant backgrounds and predominantly from South Europe and South Asian backgrounds. So that was the ethnicity of those three schools. So it became a rich case study because it was an in-depth study about the migration histories of these parents. So they were asked to reflect back on their own educational memories, their own past educational experiences, their career aspirations back then in their own country before moving to Australia, and what age they moved to Australia, and how they've sort of, you know, how their history, like how their acculturation experiences have been so far in Australia. And the similar type of questions I asked the children as well, because the children were, at the time of the study phase, they were around year 9 to VCE. So that's the period when students choose their subjects, at least in those schools. But generally, that's the time when students choose their subjects, their electives, and they have those conversations with the career counsellors, with teachers at school. And, you know, and I was intrigued as to whether this conversation is going back home and how are these subjects being translated and what are their, you know, parental influences? So are these conversations happening back at home? That was the driving factor. Hence, I, you know, went back and interviewed parents and it became like a whole family case study. So that's the background of the study.
Can you tell us more about the results from your research?
There were a range of questions about what were their own educational experiences. So generally the parents have agreed that they have high aspirations because in their own country, they've got that cultural belief and value that education is, you know, that respect for education. Their children need to work hard. They're expected to go to the university. They're expected to choose high-level subjects because back in their own country, mathematics and science subjects open a gateway to further successful career opportunities. And I asked the same type of questions to the students as well, and as to what did your parents do, how did they involve themselves back when you were young, and you know, how did you end up choosing these subjects? And the students have admitted that it was more of that cultural value that has been transferred onto them. And they agreed that, yes, it was more of a parent expects, you know, every parent wants the best for their child. But in some cases, the students were not sort of ready and they were not apt for choosing the high-level type of mathematics subjects. So there were kind of lunchtime and dinnertime conversations in the family that back and forth, I don't want to do maths. You know, high-level maths because I want to do something in sports. I want to be a soccer player. I like drama. I like art. But the parents still, they hold on to those values. You know, there was one parent from Spain who said, you can't be on the computer. You can't be playing games. You have to work hard. You still choose that subject and see how you go. So those kind of conversations where the students were sort of, you know, it was like a subtle influence. Mm-hmm. Like how the parents they're not really enforcing, but it's that mediation that is happening within the family. But when I interviewed the career counselors, so they also, it was like a triangulation, so they also agreed that these parents, when they come to these career counseling meeting with their children, there are those tensions and conversations where the teacher has recommended that the child is not apt for choosing high-level maths, or, you know, for example, the parent wants that, I want my child to do pharmacy, get into a medical, engineering, science, you know, do those type of subjects. But the teachers have recommended that a child's capability is not there to choose those subjects, so they might be at risk. Mm-hmm. But the career counselors have put forward these tensions that how these parents hold on to those mindsets, and these students could be at risk of, you know, whatever future their career pathways are. So it's that tension that we need to look at and how we can support these parents, because the parents have also admitted that they when they arrive new to the country, they're not aware of the Australian education system, that there are more than, you know, one opportunity. Like, it's not that if your child doesn't do high-level maths, he's not going to go to university. So there are other options. He could still do foundation maths or maths A, or he could still do a general science subject. But these parents are not aware that there are other subject opportunities for their children to still pursue that, you know, high expectation, that's high aspirational path. So it's that tension, that gap that we need to fill in. So that was the intriguing part of the study, which I believe that we need to work as a three-way interaction, because these experiences have also stemmed from my own teaching. So I've been a maths teacher myself for about 8 years in Australian schools. So having lived those experiences, and hence this was the driving factor for the study, see what are the implications on student subject choices and where are they originating from.
Yeah, do you think that we should give a student chance to choose whatever subjects or career paths they want to pursue instead of pressure them to do?
Yeah. So students did admit that they actually do respect their parental values and, you know, those cultural beliefs. So like I said, it was a mixed feeling. So definitely, yes, I would recommend that parents need to be educated first up, and students also need to be given that autonomous subject choice. Well, in the parental interviews, they did say that had we known that there are other subject choices available, because, you know, when I was in Bangladesh, it was only just one science subject. So, you know, I still hold on to those cultural values and beliefs. But now my child is living in the Australian education system. They're grown up. So the parents do admit that we want to have that autonomous choice. Where is that knowledge that needs to be given to parents so that students can then make their own decisions and come back home that, hey, mom and dad, this is the information, this is what I want to do, this is what my teacher has recommended. It's the tension that parents are not aware of these choices. So obviously, yes, I do agree, students need to be given those autonomous subject choices.
Do you think that's the message has been sent across to the community, especially parents from immigrants' backgrounds?
Well, the study did say that these parents are struggling, like as new migrants, they've got the language barrier, they've got their own settling, you know, they're newcomers, they're settling into the country, they have more than one child in the family, they're looking for work and so on. So far the study has said that there are barriers to, you know, parental acculturation into the Australian education system. So that's what the study has highlighted. And in my published paper, I do make recommendations that how we need to come together as homeschool partnerships to support student subject choices, you know, as their future. It has to be a healthy outcome. So that's what the implications and of the study are, and that's what I'm recommending. And at Monash, we have already started to dig into these parental factors. So on our open days, we invite parents of young children to come in and have a look as to what sort of career pathways are available. Mm-hmm. It could be 3 or 4 years down the track, but we are inviting parents of as young as year seven to come in, because obviously subject choices can't happen all of a sudden. If we need to take into account student interests, we are also inviting career counselors and school leadership personnel to come and partner up with us so they can go and feed in when they are having these face-to-face meetings with the parent and with the student. But we believe that this needs to be started early on, and it shouldn't be left when the child is landed up to VCE, and it's those tensions about what subjects to choose and how these high expectations can translate into, you know, healthy career outcomes for their children. That's what I agree, that's why these parents need to know that there are STEM subjects. I know there is a national science agenda that we do want parental involvement. We do want, you know, that students, when they're young, especially to mold them into get interested into science and, you know, STEM-based subjects. So that's actually the other side of my research that I'm looking into, is I'm also running a survey to see parents of really young children, like early childhood, so kindergarten and lower primary, mm-hmm. as to what these parents are actually doing and how are they influencing, what sort of home-based activities are they doing with their young children, either they are recent migrants. Well, this study, I'm looking at the entire, I'm not looking at migrants, I'm looking at like all Australian parents in terms of how, you know, they are sort of influencing their children, or how they are actually shaping their children's interest in science subjects. So actually this study originated from this a PhD study, because like I said, I have asked parents as to what they've been doing with their children when they were young, like when they arrived into Australia, or with their child was born overseas and they migrated when the child was at the age of four or not eight or 10 or so on. So these parents have actually admitted that they have hold on to those cultural values, and they do want their child to career pathways that will translate into, like I said, doctor, engineer, or a vet. So they have been taking their children to the zoo. They have been, you know, doing all these activities with them, like reading science fiction. So for example, if a mum wanted to be a vet in her own days, she has been actually doing those type of activities and shaping the child's interest to get motivated to do, you know, to become a vet. But then at the same time, how much is too much? So yes, mm-hmm. we do want science, you know, and STEM-based subjects. We do want parents on board in shaping their child's mindset and interests. But how much is too much? That's the question I'm actually putting forward from this study. And because, like my research has said, the career counselors have said that it could pose tensions on students' career pathway outcomes.
Okay, so it's better let a student choose their own subject and career path.
Of course, there has to be autonomous choice, but my parents have also said that it's too young. We have come to Australia. My child is too young. We need to still mold them and give them those cultural values, and we need to have those high expectations in the family. Some parents have admitted that, yes, you know, that it's too late. I mean, my child is already, you know, a year 10. You can't be having rebellious conversations with a 14, 15-year-old. So some of these parents have become subtle. They've, you know, as long as you go to university, you work hard, you do well in what you've chosen. Mm-hmm. So that's the autonomy that the parents want to give to their child.
I think that's not just from South Asia or some Asian country, or from European country or whatever country that they come to Australia. Hmong community in Australia also experiences some tension as well, especially our children, our kids from the family. They are telling someone that I just study for my parents, from a mom or from a dad, not for me. Even though I don't like this subject, I have to study so they are happy.
Yeah, so, well, they're happy because they have internalized those beliefs. Like I said, the parent has actually shaped and molded their child right from age four after arriving into Australia. Of course, like, I have a four-year-old son, so if I want him to be a doctor or an engineer, so So I will start preparing him from young, because I've got that cultural expectation, or I've got that cultural value that engineering is a successful career pathway. If my child grows up and has some other interest, I'm not going to force or push him, because I'm sure there are other opportunities in Australia that he will excel in.
Do you think that we should look at Finland's education system, that they don't put any stress for kids or for teachers? Teachers has master degrees and have to pass rigorous test. They got a good pay, got enough resource. Education is free. They don't have to have any reports, accountability, transparency back to the government. So they just do the best job. They assess the kids according to their capacity, not comparing anything to other people. Should we look into Finland's education system?
That's a very good question, because at the moment I am researching with the Finnish early childhood system. So I have a project that's going on with Australia and Finland. I'm looking at how teachers are conceptualizing science and digital learning with kindergarten and pre-primary children. I was actually in Finland just a few weeks ago doing all these observations of their system, schooling system, how teachers have got that autonomy, how student voice and agency is being respected right from early childhood. Yes, you're absolutely right in saying that they have got the support system. They've got, like in a kindergarten, I was surprised to see how they have low ratios. The teacher is a master-trained teacher for formal subjects, like from pre-primary onwards. Mm-hmm. And they have a co-educator, they have a nurse. I'm talking about early childhood system. And as they grow up, children are given so much of, like I said, student voice, and student opinion is respected. And I think that needs to start, from early childhood. And we need to believe in our system, believe in our teachers in terms of, what they're doing for their classes, for their students.
Do you think that we should look at the NAP plan? Because NAP plan is focused mainly on literacy, numeracy, and readings, writing, numeracy, instead of looking something like the Finland's education system.
Well, Finland has, from what I saw, was they've got a holistic system. So they don't compartmentalize literacy and numeracy. So it's like it's play-based, similar to what Australia has. And it's the literacy and numeracy comes through play and through, children's awareness of their surroundings and the environment. So the child has been molded right from, right from beginning. So, and that's how they grow up. And there's, I don't see any parental pressure or push, at least from the university academics that I spoke to. I haven't spoken to parents, so don't quote me on this.
Yeah.
What I saw.
Yeah. Do you think that Austrian education system should focus more on real phenomenon, so students can think for themselves? They can use their critical thinking, problem solving, creativity, innovative, instead of like focus too much on just numeracy and literacy from the NAP plan.
Yes. So that's the like what I saw in the Finnish system is more of creativity. Like students have got these choices, and they have got a system of phenomenon based learning. So it almost comes naturally within children. It's not like, today we're going to look at this project, or today we're going to be working on letters and numbers and so on. So it's a holistic system. So, but I really can't comment on that plan, because my research hasn't gone that far how that plan can have implications and what are the negative and positive pressures on schooling systems.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a final final comments before we go?
I would really like to highlight the future, and my ongoing research is also increasing parental capacities because these parents have admitted that they want the best for their child, which is very human. But how we can support these parents so they can make those autonomous subject choices, they can shape their children's career pathways. Obviously they need to be given that knowledge of the Australian education system. If they are holding on to those high cultural values and expectations, how then career counsellors and teachers can support, with either homeschool or school-university partnerships to promote different subject choices that are available early on, so parents don't hold on to those mindsets and give those autonomous subject choices to their children.
Thank you very much, Dr. Sarika Kiwo Ramani from Monash University Education Department.
Thank you very much.
เนี่ยๆไฟซอสเสร็จเที่ยวจบไปก้าเฮาเอสเปรสมองลงเฟซบุ๊กเพจตาว